Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching Power Rangers, episode 377, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, episode 39, Fate of Lightspeed.
It aired November 17th, 2000, written by Judd Lynn and Jackie Marchand, and directed by Ryuta Tasaki and Makoto Yokoyama.
That's a new name.
That is absolutely a new
name. That's super a new name. I wonder if that's like a guy that apprenticed or shadowed Ryuta, because I know Ryuta did use his first name, like we're friends. Ryuta.
Yeah.
I know he did Sentai stuff. Like he like was a director for Sentai, and I feel like he still is, and like just was like the main director on one of the Kamen Rider shows.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. Someone will correct us for sure. But maybe the second guy was like a guy that he knew in apprentice. He's like, hey, I'm training you to one day. All the light touches will be yours. Except Fitchburg. It's a very specific meme.
It's very, very
so specific, and I'm sorry. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back, we talk about it. This is the part one of the finale of Lightspeed Rescue. So if you haven't watched yet, you've got 4 days before we're done, so you gotta catch up.
You gotta watch 39 with this one. Episodes.
You got to watch 36. I feel like there's a couple you can straight up skip. Anyway, we're going to go watch The Fate of Lightspeed right now.
Rescue ready. And we're back, and we just watched The Fate of Lightspeed Part 1.
I forgot to say that it was Part 1 in the beginning. I think I just said The Fate of Lightspeed.
Oh, it's Part 1.
Part 1. We definitely said that later. And guys, it was very good.
It was pretty good. It ended, and I was like, oh, right.
Oh,
it's,
no.
It's Part 1.
Yeah. So, morphingrid.tumblr.com is our website. So it's heyjakeandjosh.com. That's where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphingrid. We're on Snapple Podcasts. We're on Google Play. We're on Podknife. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Pods. We're on Pod Google. That's a search engine for podcasts.
Yes.
And Google is not happy about it.
Google Pods and also Apple Play.
We're on Apple Play.
But it doesn't work.
You know, it sometimes
it costs a lot of money.
That is true.
It's like $50 a month.
It's a lot.
But you only get the first 6 minutes of any podcast.
Sometimes you'll get just a random 6 minutes that Apple Play thinks is, I guess, the choice juicy nug of the podcast. And you don't get to choose. That's on Apple Play. Also, we're on Patreon. Patreon. Oh, if you want to leave us a rating or review, that'd be really appreciated. Also, we're on Patreon. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. For as little as $1 a month, you get some neat stuff in return, including Tattered Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes. Which, highest is coming up. 3 more are coming. Maybe more, because we got to record some more. But we definitely have 3 recorded that need to go up first. Also, bonus audio. Like us talking about Sonic. Like us talking about Mario Odyssey. Like us talking about pro wrestling out of context. Starts with Fire Pro, ends in New Japan. There is a link there, but it just kind of goes on.
I don't even remember.
It was when you first got Fire Pro, and then we just started talking about it. It was like five minutes. Also, that same bonus episode, you can hear me lick a Nintendo Switch cartridge.
That's
that I did to prove a point, Josh.
Well worth the dollar.
I think so.
And the point was probably proven. The only way to know for sure is to listen to the tape.
I guess, yeah. You're going to have to do it to find out what the verdict is on licking them.
Are they good or are they nasty? Who knows?
Who knows? Also, speaking of pod lick-ems, we've got several. There's been a bunch today, because episode went up today.
I have Latasha's answer as well.
Okay. Do you want to talk about them right now?
Do we want to?
Or do you
want to
save them for Friday? Will we remember Friday?
Let's start the week off right. Let's start the week with some pod lick-ems.
Let's get some pod lick-ems.
And then if we get more,
we'll do some more.
We'll do more Friday.
Okay. Here's the thing. One of that, what we said was, one way to do it. You can either hashtag it Podlickums, or you leave a rating and review with just what you think our podcast tastes like. It has to be 5 stars. No context, just like blueberries, whatever you want to say. Cassidy did that.
Oh, nice.
The review has not dropped in yet.
Okay.
Hopefully by Wednesday when we record the finale, it will. Other than that, we've gotten several. If you type in hashtag pod L, Podlickums is one of the fill-ins. So, like, there's that.
We made it.
Okay, so
we did it.
There's a bunch for not just our podcast, but for a lot of our podcasts and for a lot of other podcasts. So there's a bunch here. First was from Benny. Benny was right on top of it. Apparently, Benny has a little bit of synesthesia himself.
Okay.
It's called color grapheme. I don't know exactly. I think that's when like things make you think of a color or like things feel like a color.
Yeah, that's like what I do.
Yeah. You do that. I don't know if you ever talked about it on the show, but like
I think I might have brought it up once or twice.
You definitely categorize things into colors a lot.
Yeah.
So apparently he took that and then from there extrapolated what the taste would be.
Okay.
So for this show, purple and green grapes with some soft cheese.
Ooh. I like a good cheese.
Do you want to do the other podcast too or just scroll through for us?
We can do the other ones. Just so like everyone gets a good feel and also that self promo.
Right. So for
a soft cheese, is that like a brie?
I think I think it's okay. Like a brie, like a pate. Is that meat? Is pate meat? Is brie meat?
I think pate is meat. And the only reason I have any inclination of what pate is. Because
you went to one fancy party once.
No, it's because we watched Latasha and I have been watching American Horror Story.
Okay.
And in the hotel.
I'm sorry.
I like it. It's like rabbits for you.
Okay. Sure.
There's a hipster couple in the hotel season that order a pate, and they give them cat food, and they couldn't tell the difference.
Okay, gross.
So I think it's meat.
Okay, sure. Next up, this is also from Benny. This first bunch are from Benny. Pokemon World Tour tastes like green apple jelly with hints of bark and pears.
Hints of bark? Like bark. A chocolate bark or a tree bark?
I think like a tree bark.
It's a little earthy.
It's a little, but there's also pears, which is my...
That was which one? World Tour?
This is World Tour.
Well, we're talking about a lot of outside places, a lot of forests, a lot of bark.
It's going to taste barky a little bit, but it's mostly apple jelly with like a hint of bark and pears. Cool Kids Table, raspberry chocolate mousse with chocolate sprinkles on top and whipped cream. That's a decadent dish.
That's rich.
That's
I could only have like a bite of the Cool Kids Table.
I hope a lot of people could have more than just one bite. There's a lot of good bites there. Kingdom Smarts, which is my podcast I do with Shannon, where she has to explain Kingdom Hearts to me, and it's wild. What a wild time. Tastes like strawberries and chocolate milk. That sounds fun.
Yeah, this is like a classic.
That's like a good time. Hard Reboot, which is a podcast that I do with Alan and Matt Hoadley. Alan Sells and Matt Hoadley. I forget, he's only been on this show about once. If you don't know who Alan, you should know who Alan is. Tastes like a brick with moss on it.
Are these... Okay.
I don't know if he's negging us or not.
Now, here's the thing, Benny. I have a question. Are these flavors also reviews of the podcast?
I see. That's what I thought, but I don't know. I know Benny likes Hard Reboot a lot.
Okay.
So I don't think it's like... I don't think it is. It
tastes like a brick with moss on
it. Yeah. And like that's evocative, but gross.
That's
so,
definitely a unique flavor.
For sure. And then finally, Spectre Pod, or Spectre, which is the James Bond podcast I do with Matt J from Super Sentai Brothers and a guest, you know, a rotating stable of guests. Green Sour Patch Kids with licorice. So you got that sour and that horrible, horrible demon flavor,
that's
licorice.
I feel like Sean Connery loves licorice.
Oh, you know that man. His favorite snack on every rider is I want a bucket of black licorice.
Arrange it like a bouquet.
I want a bouquet of dirty black licorice, and I want 6 cans of room temperature Moxie.
Oh, it's just like liquid licorice.
Liquid-rish. And Cassidy says that she will do one for every... like that she gets on the tweet, and the one that she did for this show is on iTunes or will be soon. Hopefully, it drops in soon. So, a couple faves. Kingdom Smarts tastes like cucumber water and a veggie sandwich, light yet refreshing and flavorful.
Okay,
it's a 30 minute podcast, 30 to 40 minute podcast. That's like that. That makes a lot of sense. I don't know what Let's Make a Music is. Oh, is that Brian David Gilbert? It is. That's his podcast. It tastes like French toast and mimosas. Sounds like a good time.
I've never had a mimosa. Is that the like orange?
It's orange juice and champagne.
Okay.
It's like the only way I can drink champagne. I can drink orange juice, however, but
right.
Champagnes and wines taste like feet to me, so
they're pretty gross.
You gotta pour some acidity in there to cut it.
People who are crazy about wine, just like, man, that's crazy.
People who like treat liking wine as a personality trait are like the most frustrating people, besides people who think drinking coffee is a personality trait.
Everybody drinks coffee.
Except for us.
Except for us.
On this podcast. I saw this cup that I almost bought. It was a real big one. And it said, Mama needs her coffee. And I almost got that because, A, I am not a mama. I am not the mama.
Not the mama.
And number two, I don't drink coffee. So that would be just a very funny to me. And it points inward. So it's for you to read. That's... They don't point out unless you're left-handed, which I'm not trying to disparage, but like I think statistically it's only 10% of people are left-handed. So like Lefties are like, look, this is the thing that I would like to show you. Right's like, this is mine. This joke is for me. And mama needs her coffee.
Mugs are crazy. Yeah. I don't want to get into everything that I think is crazy on account of I am just an old man now. But mugs are wild.
My favorite mug, my two favorite mugs, exactly the same. One has a W on it, and one has a D on it. For nothing.
You never know. Some days you get the W, some days you get the D.
You get the D. Portia says, Kingdom Smart tastes like sea salt ice cream. That makes a lot of sense. This is my favorite one of all the ones we've gotten. Cool Kids Table tastes like Lucky Charms cereal.
Oh, I just had a bowl of Lucky Charms this afternoon.
Well, like, that is the Cool Kids Table.
Yeah, it is.
Let me scroll. I think that's there's a bunch more. Oh, here's another one. Our old podcast Gas Cast tastes like Crystal Pepsi and fruit snacks.
Good mission accomplished.
Correct, Cassidy.
That's the right answer.
But yeah, so go check out that hashtag. And if you have what you think our podcast would taste like, hashtag that Podlickums or leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. You don't need to say anything but what the flavor of this podcast is.
Latasha asked me, she says, what is Latasha's?
Yes.
She said, what does blue and brown plaid taste like? Because that's what I think the Morphin Grid is.
Blue and... So hold on. Blue, the color blue and yes. Brown plaid or blue and brown plaid?
A plaid that is blue and brown.
Okay. That's like...
I said, I don't know. We both said something with blueberries.
Sure.
She settled on a nice blueberry muffin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
This is a blueberry muffin of podcasts.
It is.
You know, sometimes it takes you 15 minutes of your blueberry muffin to talk about Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Kind of like right now.
We've eaten the bottom of the muffin. We're about to get into the tasty muffin top.
I always start with the top.
That's where all the tasty's at.
I mean, it's muffin all the way down, Josh.
Yeah, but you could finish with the bottom.
But like, it comes with a thing to hold it, the little wrapper.
Flip it upside down, you hold it by the top.
And then you unpeel it, and now your hands are all sticky?
Look, I just know people go crazy about muffin tops.
Well, yeah, because some white person was like, muffin tops are a thing, and not, and everyone was like, okay.
There's an episode of some sitcom, probably a bad one, like Two Broke Girls or something.
Well, sure.
Where they started a muffin top business, and they would cook the muffins and then just cut the tops off and throw the bottoms away.
They should have started a second business, muffin bottoms. And you
discount muffin bottoms.
Discount muffin bottoms. Do you want to talk about Power Rangers now?
Yeah, sure.
We start off with Ryan touching a wall. You remember Ryan from before?
Turns out he's back in the tomb.
Back in the tomb. Last episode ended with the key flying into the tomb, turning into a hieroglyph, sticking itself onto a wall. The wall was bare. Today, cobwebs. So many cobwebs.
It's been a minute.
It's just, these have been some busy spiders. And now it's covered. He's like brushing all the cobwebs off. And he like waves his hand over the key and it turns back into the key and comes out. And then Ryan uses that key to project a little portal onto a pillar that shows him hell and a, and like 12 demons with their arms in the air like they don't care. Just like,
rebel.
I don't know why the key does this.
I don't understand the key.
The key
could... Okay, this is the tomb that Diabolico came out of a sarcophagus in.
All of them were in here at the very beginning of the season. Diabolico came back through hell.
You don't need this key. Ryan just could have looked into the sarcophagus and seen them all being like, hey, we're coming, if there's like a portal in there.
And now I'm wondering how Diabolico, unless, because they dropped a rope down there, I feel like, but I know they didn't. But that key is from the gatekeeper that was like, here's how you get into hell. It's through this door.
Who presumably just walked away and is still somewhere.
He's like, this is not my fight.
There's a giant gatekeeper just wandering the earth.
Do you slowly shrink, do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
As the magic wears off?
There's like a time limit?
Yeah, you just like, or like, you just like, as you're like, all right, I'm going to leave, you like start going and you just like start like,
as you like walk out of the range.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, I don't know if it's like a temporary enlargement or if it's like a complete metamorphosis of the physical you into a giant.
I know there has been at least one, but probably a couple more than that over the last 375 episodes where we've seen a not henchman or boss level person go from big to small, like go small to big and then back.
There was the episode, like way back, like
the third episode.
The third episode with the Minotaur. Yeah. That's true.
Why do we remember that? Because we watched it three times, I think.
Also, the Minotaur is a fight in the Sega Genesis fighting game, so I'm very familiar with
the
Minotaur.
You're very jazzed about that. Yeah, so I think maybe you can go back, but I do like the idea that, like, you're big now, you gotta kill the Power Rangers. If you win, you're gonna stay big so you can't come home, but we will build you a whole new house.
Yeah, we'll just build a hollow out part of the ocean for you to live in.
We can't go down there.
Well, that's why you got to put, like, some walls up.
Oh, sure.
Put a hole in the ocean.
Yeah. Nice little basement apartment.
Just stand in it.
Woo! I love this. I earned this. So, the key shows them a lot of weird demons. We cut to the Lightspeed Action Base. They're having a team meeting. Captain says something about, like, Dr. Fairweather, take it away. And she's like, yes. So, we get footage of them rebuilding and taking back the parts of the Megazords that were just, like, completely annihilated last time.
Yeah, she specifically says, we are working on the Omega Megazord.
Yes.
So the captain's like, great, everything else is working. She says, only the Life Force one is working.
Just the new cool one that won last time. And he's like, oh, okay. And I think Joel might say something about that. I don't think it was the captain. I thought it was Carter or Joel.
It was Joel. Joel.
And then Ryan calls. He pops up on the screen. He's like, Rangers, come in. And they're like, yes, Ryan, we're here. There's no monitor on your wrist communicator, but trust us.
It projects a little screen.
Okay, sure. you combine it with a key. Get a little screen projector. So he says that Bansheera is trying to resurrect all the demons from the Shadow Realm, and it's starting, and then the candle blows out, and then it goes static, and then we cut away from the shot into the tomb.
Ryan, like, looks to his right, and the static and the monitor fades out.
Yeah, and then Bansheera's there, and she gets him, and she does, like, that, like...
She grows her nails.
Her nails get big. I don't like those nails.
They tangle him up. He gets tangled up in those nasty nails. Have you ever seen the Guinness World Record holder for the longest fingernails? That's what her fingernails do, around a person.
But, like, they're prehensile, which is gross.
Yeah.
As someone who has very fast-growing nails, like, if they got any longer than what I normally let him get to. Because it's like one day between like, I can wait a day, and oh, those are so long. that would be just very uncomfortable. Just to be like, let me grow them out. And then, oh, let me suck them back into my fingers.
How do you dial a phone?
With the tips?
With the tips of the nails or your
fingers?
You shoot the nails upwards and use the bottom of your finger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she can bring hers back, but if they were very long, you just do like this number and you look a little weird. When we went to get my roommate and I, you were there, but you weren't in the room with us. When we went to get our internet stuff switched over.
Yeah, yeah.
The girl there had very long nails. They were like an inch long. And she had to type like... She's very fast at it because she's probably had very long nails.
That's great. How do you not hit the button a row above where you're typing?
I don't know. I would think that you go like straight down, but I know not everyone's nails are like very sturdy like mine are, so maybe that's not a great idea. Anyway, so she does like that little magician thing over the like, ooh, it's gone, over the key, and the key is gone. And then we cut to the theme song, and when we come back, we're at the base, and they like saw this happen. I guess
because they're all like, Bishira got Ryan. Yeah, but the picture definitely went out.
Maybe it went fuzzy.
Maybe they could still hear. He kept the button on the communicator held down.
Oh, maybe.
And she was like, I got the key.
I'm going to get you in the key. Wah. Mama needs her coffee. And Carter's like, I'm going to go. I'm going to go right now. And Dana's like, no, I'm going to go. And then Carter's like, no, I'll take the mobile action vehicle. They'll never see it coming.
I got mad at Carter.
I got a little mad at Carter.
Dana says, I'll go. And he does not say no. He almost does not even acknowledge her. He just turns and is like, I'll take the sleeping bag moped.
Number one, I kind of see where he's coming from. Because he says, I'll take the mobile action sleeping bag, right?
Yeah.
He's the only one that has one. So he'll be able to get there real quick.
That's fair.
Like, Dana would have to, like, walk or take a bus, and that never goes well for her. And they don't probably go to the Skull Cavern, I don't think. But I do kind of wish there was something else.
Instead of just ignoring the fact that she said, I'll go.
Because it's her brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. I get it. You're the Red Ranger, but that's her brother, you know?
Yeah.
Second part, maybe Carter's in love with him. Because there's been a lot of palpable chemistry between the two when they've been in on screen together. He saw him shirtless that one time.
And just like stopped
and just
for
like,
a second.
Just like waited.
Got a case of the vapors.
It got a little steamy in there. So maybe he's like, no, I'm going to go. But he's like, yeah, they'll never see it coming. And Chad's like, yeah, because that's crazy to go there with just you and a sleeping bag plane. And that's it. That's a bad idea, Carter. So he goes. I don't even think there's an end to this conversation.
There's
Captain
not...
Mustache is like, yeah, I think it's also kind of a bad idea. And Carter's like, see you later. And then leaves.
It might be later. It's either now or later, of course.
Those are the two options. It wasn't before.
It's either right now or in a little bit where Dr. Fairweather's like, just use stealth mode and you'll be fine.
Yeah. I think it's right after this. Because we cut to Bansheera, and she's got Ryan. There's 100, like a dozen baddies. There's going to be 100 baddies in a second. Like a lot. There's like a dozen. They all, like a bunch of them have Ryan. She's like, Jinxer, lock him up where no one will find him. Keep that in your pocket. He's very easily found. He's like down a hallway. It's not hard to get to him.
There's like three rooms in this place.
But Jinxer's like, yeah, I'll do that. And he does a lot of like groveling, a lot of like, yeah, it's my queen, blah, 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 all that.
I can't wait for her to kill him.
I'm pretty excited. She's going to eat him.
I'm rooting for one thing other than the Power Rangers winning, obviously. And it's for Bansheera to eat Jinxer.
Her mouth and boob cups are fly traps. He's a fly. So, like, come on. Also, notice this time, Bansheera's corset, there's a mouth a little bit below her belly button. There's a nose right below her boobs. And her boobs are eyes.
They're the eyes of her weird midsection.
Of her midsection.
Man,
face.
I hope they don't open.
No.
I mean, they can't in America.
Not here anyway, no. But yeah, that would be upsetting.
That's been her real face the whole time.
No. So we cut back. She also says, like, summon the baddies. I'm sick of waiting. We're doing this now. The time is upon us. So he summons the baddies.
Wake up, battling. Go do the thing.
Go break everything. That's basically what he says.
His rhymes are bad.
They're not.
They're not clever raps and rhymes.
Pumpkin rapper, he ain't.
No, pumpkin rapper would run circles around.
Oh my
this
god!
Little loser.
Where's that battle rap? Let me get Michael from Ranger Danger on the phone. He has semi-canonically written raps for Pumpkin Rapper.
Oh dang!
Yeah, Pumpkin Rapper showed up on Hyperforce. I think as Kyle Higgins, the guy that he wrote like Shattered Grid and like all the Power Rangers comics, except for the second one, he did like the main series up until like a month ago. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think he played Pumpkin Rapper on an episode of Hyperforce and had Michael write raps for him to rap battle with the Blue Ranger. That's radical.
That's pretty great.
So we'll make that happen. Jinxer's going to lose handily.
Yes, it's not even close.
He sucks. So
Mother Goose runs circles around Jinxer. Yeah,
I almost said something about Dayton, but no one knows who that is. So the baddies come out. If you'll remember, which I did not for a minute, but last episode, Jinxer threw a card at the Megazord foot. And it's a baddie card.
Yep.
It's 100 baddies stuck
in here.
There's
so many baddies in that card.
There's a lot. This is a thick card. This is a thick with two C's card. A thick card. Four C's all together.
Oh, damn. It's a lot of C's.
It's four C's of bats. And
well, then that's eight C's.
Yes. And they all come out, and then they, like, wait. This is my favorite part of the baddies. This whole plan is the baddies like, hold on. Let's prank them first.
Yeah, we can't go out until somebody opens the door.
Because they're in, like, the hangar bay. The Life Force Megazord is there. They're like, just wait. Just wait. So we come back.
They swarm it. They're, like, covering the
it's
whole thing.
Everywhere.
There's got to be more than 100. There's got to be, like, 1,000 baddies.
Oh, for sure. Did I talk about the wasp infestation on the show that I had?
I don't know.
Where they just kept, it was like a hydra but wasps, and every time we killed two more took its place.
I don't know if that made it to the air or not.
Okay, so a little while ago, it was like a Sunday night, and I was like, yeah, gonna have a nice relaxing Sunday, gonna watch something, I don't remember what. And then my roommate was like, oh no, there's a wasp in here, and like killed it. And he's like, oh no, there's another one. I was like, uh-oh. So go in there, literally 2x2 wasps for like an hour and a half. My roommate and I fought wasps. If they would have all come in at once, it would have been very bad.
But thankfully, they had the mook mentality.
Thankfully, they came in mook style. Because at one point, we ran out of spray. And Tony had to run to the Sunrise gas station.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Which is not a great one. And he came back with some spray that was like $55 or something. It was gas station prices.
Because they know when they have you.
Yeah. And, like, we found it. We found the wasp hive. It was outside the door on my front porch light. Never noticed it before, but it was, like, up in there. So what they were doing is they were flying up through there, over, and then down through my kitchen light. So they were coming out the little hole in the kitchen light where the wires come through. And I don't have a thing on that because it broke. It fell down and broke once. Like 3 or 4 years ago, and I hope my landlord doesn't listen to this because we haven't replaced it, but no one looks up, so it's fine. But like, imagine if there would have been the bulb there and we would have looked up and there would just be a bunch of wasps in the light bulb.
No way, man.
I don't know if that's scarier or not than having to fight two wasps at a time for an hour and a half.
Looking up and seeing all of them?
Yeah.
That's definitely scarier than fighting two at a time.
But like, we killed all of them, like by hand, and then found the thing. And I was like, cool. Great. I wish we'd have found this an hour. Anyway, that's what the baddies do.
Yeah, they're like wasps.
They're like wasps. There's a lot of them. And they are very effective in this episode and never before.
Yeah.
Hey, season finale.
Everybody gets one.
Yeah. Carter comes into the Dr. Farrell's lab part.
It was the card that he used. This one was made out of that super putty.
Okay, yeah.
They weren't ready for super.
They weren't
baddies.
Ready. Yeah, they didn't go up on the mountain to get the slingshots from Titanus.
Season one's wild.
Season one's weird. I gotta watch Z-Ranger because like I want to see the. Apparently, it's like watching a Funhouse Mirror of Power Rangers. I just like I wanna see that.
Yeah, all I know is the Zordon guy
is a weird elf.
He's a weird elf, and he can make his ear really big to listen far away.
That was episode one, yeah. Who Sentai is radical. Oh, speaking of Sentai, the reason that a lot of times when they do like insert shots or like they do close-ups that it's like suddenly American footage is because in GoGo 5, a lot of times they will have the mask go down, or not like down, but go clear. So you can like see the face inside.
Oh, I did see you retweet that.
Yeah, get like the emotion. And that's radical.
That's very cool.
That's very good.
I would love for them to do that in a season like Samurai or something so we can see how they see out of those helmets.
Careful placement of the quote mystic symbols.
They do it in Zeo and you can see Tanya's nose and forehead.
I actually think the line is probably mid-nose.
So you can't look down.
So you can see out, and if you do, like, you can't really back up in it. But right. If you look down, you can see downward. But if you just, like, there's like, a big blind spot.
So weird. And then they do it on Kat, and it's just her entire head in that giant aquarium window.
It's like goggles, so they just put a pink thing around. Carter comes up into Dr. Fairweather's lab part, and he's ready to fly. He's morphed, but he has his helmet off, which I don't think we've seen a ton of this season.
I don't think so. We see quite a bit of it in this episode, but it's not something that has happened a lot. I don't know if outside of the original series that happens often at all. I remember a little bit in Zio, and I remember in Turbo, because Justin deflated when he took the helmet off.
Every time he took his helmet off, he lost a lot of mass. I don't think it happened in Lost Galaxy a ton. I feel like I only remember Damon, but I did watch a compilation of Megaforce, of like old Rangers and Megaforce. I think Damon was in that. But also, speaking of that Megaforce thing, we're so far off the rails. This episode ruled, so we probably should talk about it. But Damon was there and Caron was there. But when we saw the crossover a couple episodes ago, it was Kendricks.
Yep.
What happened?
Kendricks didn't want to be a Power Ranger again.
I know what happened. I know that Valerie Vernon has like an interior design firm now and doesn't want to do Power Rangers.
Well, so does Kendricks.
Well, okay. Well, she's a scientist. She's a very busy scientist.
She's
on Miranoi.
Yeah.
What a weird part of
I
Power
forgot
Rangers
they live
lore.
On Miranoi
they live
now.
On a whole extra planet.
They made Miranoi Earth. They colonized Miranoi.
Well, hey, what'd you expect? So anyway.
Oh, that poor planet. They're over there just killing it.
Just doing very bad to it. So Dana and Joel come in, and Joel's like, if I would have known that you were going to do this cockamamie stunt, I would have never taught you how to fly this.
That's a direct quote.
That is a direct quote.
That's not us being funny.
I like that.
I do, too.
I like Joel in this episode.
Yeah, because he's not gross.
He's not being gross.
He's a funny guy, but man, is he just gross.
I just don't like it when he's horny.
Yeah.
I don't like when he weaponizes his horniness at Dr. Fairweather, who's at work and trying to do her job, which she does in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like crazy. It's so good. So Dana, Joel and Carter shake hands. Dana gives him a hug. I don't think she says anything, but I think that look like, good luck, get him back.
Yeah, you know? I think Carter says, like, don't worry, I'll bring him back.
Yeah. And so then he hops in a sleeping bag and he flies away and he flies into a big cloud. He's like, I see it. It's a big cloud. He flies into that. Apparently, it's just been in a big cloud this whole time.
And it's just been in that rain cloud that won't leave.
We should shoot it with missiles. See if that helps.
Just fire all your lasers in there.
I know we got lasers.
Shoop to whoop it right up into the rain.
So then Dr. Fairweather goes to check on the Megazord. And she goes in there and she's like, okay, yeah, this is a dark room. Was it this dark? Let me turn the lights up. And she like slowly turns the lights up. She has like a dimmer on a panel. Turns it up. There's a dozen baddies right in front of her.
Weird that they have like a weird light dimmer in the Megazord hangar.
Yeah, you'd think that would be like a chunk and then it'd be like gung, 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 gung. But no, it's a dimmer. It's a nice like, put some mood lighting on this.
Get
on
that
this
Megazord looking sexy.
Oh yeah.
What a horny season of Power Rangers.
It's the horniest one yet. It's the horniest one yet. Then she looks up at the scaffolding around the Megazord, and there's 1,000 baddies.
Yeah.
And they are just waiting to prank her. And so she's like, oh, no.
She shuts the door. She backs out and shuts the door. I have to go. This will not do.
This is not where I parked my car. So then she starts, like, she runs to a comm. She warns Captain Mustache. She's like, there's so many baddies. There's way too many of them. They are in the Lightspeed base. Captain Mustache is like, go to Red Alert. So they go to Red Alert, which just means nobody do anything different, and some sirens will be on.
Except the Power Rangers.
Who are surprised. So they just tell them Red Alert, but they don't tell them exactly what's going on.
Yeah, it's like anytime that alarm goes off, they get up. We always see them get up and just rush to...
Rescue Ops.
I was trying to remember it.
That's what the command area is called. I found that out today.
Same. And then I forgot it, apparently.
Well, hey, it's Rescue Ops.
Oh, yeah. So they were, like, in the cafeteria or something, and it goes off. And we get, like, a weird security camera footage of them getting up and leaving the room. And presumably just to head to Rescue Ops and be like, hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Captain Mustache is like, so many baddies are here.
Too many. But they get caught in, like, the hallway, and they just start fighting baddies. There's just like 100 baddies everywhere.
Yeah, there's like one instant of Joel being like, how'd they get in here? And then they're swarmed by them and just they don't have time anymore to figure it out.
Yeah. So start fighting. Dana morphs. She does this really cool thing. She doesn't like throw out the shield and jump through it, but there's like a nice like cut and everything looks really smooth.
Dana morphs defensively.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we've ever seen that before. Like they have this rocket launcher that they're just shooting at everything.
Yeah.
And they fire it at Dana, who stares it down and calls her morph.
Morphs at it.
And then after the explosion clears, she's morphed. It's mwah,
choice.
Great.
Choice. USDA prime beef.
And then I think Joel has a separate special.
His is close to being great, but isn't quite.
But Kelsey and Chad morph in mid movement.
Yeah, Chad stomps for a second, like he like kicks a baddie back and then morphs and then goes back to it.
But he does like a tumble roll and comes out of it morphed.
Did he? I thought he just like morphed.
Yeah,
it.
No, he like kicks some baddies off.
What did Kelsey do?
Rolls. Kelsey does a kick.
Okay.
Yeah, she does like a roundhouse kick, and when she finishes turning around, she is morphed.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. Then Joel gets grabbed and brought into an elevator, and I was like, oh man, the door's gonna close. They're going to come back open. He's going to be morphed. There's going to be a bunch of dead baddies. Close. So close. They had to do the Birdemic, and they had to show you exactly.
Right.
So they show him morphing inside the elevator with a bunch of baddies swarming him. And then the doors open, and there's two left, and he knocks them down.
Joel is the perfect character to get thrown into an elevator with seven baddies. The doors shut, and they open, and he's morphed and wiping his hands.
Yeah. That's a Sky Cowboy move.
Yeah.
But they should have had to show you a little too much. So close. So close. So then there's just more fighting. There's just like a lot of fighting. And then we cut back to Rescue Ops, where we see that baddies have taken the Life Force Megazord. You know, the new cool one?
Yeah. That almost killed the Power Rangers in testing.
Baddies just jacked up to that.
They just jacked right in.
They're jacked all the way in. And they're fine.
They're having a good time. They're like partying in there. There's 12 baddies in the cockpit.
Maybe they're like rotating out because like a baddie cannot have as much energy as a Power Ranger.
No, they are demons, so by definition they can't have a lot of life force.
No. So like it should be like, all right, let's do this. Oh, one died. All right, get Jeff out of there, get Chris in. Like swap them out. And there should be like 100 just waiting. Just like it should be
it's like a line of them just making a baddie chain hanging out of the back.
Just like all the legs, all the arms, everything. Everything's full of baddies. They just keep rotating out as they die. But they have the sword, they're just swinging it around, knocking
just
crap over.
Just haphazardly smashing up the aqua base.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
Then we cut back inside. The Rangers are being chased. They like run in and lock the door. Kelsey and Chad. They like shut like a blast door. And then Dana and Joel do it with the second one. And they like look over and the Zord hits one of them. And it's Pod 4. I don't know what's in Pod 4. I don't know how important Pod 4 is. But
it seems like they're in Pod 4.
It seems like it, but they're not.
But they are not.
Because it gets knocked down. And it's like a close-up on Dr. Farrow. She's like, Pod 4 is gone. And it's like really dire. And it's like very good acting. And then Captain Mustache like goes catatonic.
He just stops.
He like has a crisis. And he's doing that Saving Private Ryan thing of like the sound is like kind of fading out. Like it's like.
Yeah. Cause he's gone. He left.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. It's not for the cool reason I was hoping it was going to be.
I was hoping, and maybe this is part two, is we're going to see it, but I don't think we'll have the same opportunity that we would have in this one. But yeah, he just like kind of goes catatonic, and then baddies should have a big battering ram made of some support beam just like knocking on the door, and Dr. Ferro takes over and she's like, all right, we gotta get everybody out.
He's not responding, so she just stands up. She's like, we're evacuating.
All right, get everyone out of here. And so we get a lot of evacuating. We cut back to Carter, who gets to the cavern. He lands and he starts running up them stairs, all 500 steps. And then we cut back. They are evacuating. They're like, get in the tunnel, go through the tunnel, everybody get out. So they get everybody out of Lightspeed Action Base. Every single person. It's like, all right, now we got to go. So they go. They get one room over, and they're like, we forgot. Dr. Farrow's like, hey, where is Captain Mustache? They're like, oh, no, he's still at Rescue Ops. That's where we find out.
That's
what it's
where
called.
We got the name drop in episode 39.
Maybe they said it before.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they said it in, like, episode 1 or 2.
Yeah.
We're not going to remember that or listen for it.
Maybe they say it every episode. I didn't know until now. So they go back in there. He is falling apart. He's just staring at everything. And they all come in. And he's like, everything I worked so hard for is gone. And he's like, no, you still have me and Ryan. And Dr. Fairweather and the Rangers still need you. And he's like, oh. And it kind of snaps out of it. He's like, you're right. Okay, let's do something. But then the Megazord rears back with sword, cuts the evacuation tube. They cannot get out anymore.
They're disconnected. They are a single tube in the ocean.
They are just like in a pillar. And then baddies go a buck wild. they have a rocket launcher.
Yep.
They shoot the little window on the blast door. It's like a little tiny, like 6-inch around window. And they shoot it so it breaks.
Pinpoint precision.
Oh, yeah.
When just a couple minutes ago, right before they shot at Dana and she morphed, they just shot the side of a door.
One of them just shot a door frame. It did nothing.
He was so trigger happy. He was like, I got this rocket launcher. I've been alive for 6 minutes.
I'm going to use it.
All I know is shooting this thing.
I know two things. I know I'm going to shoot this rocket launcher. I know that Mama needs her coffee. And so they shoot it, breaks the thing. Then, oh, I forgot to mention this. They do have grenades. They used it before.
They're like little bat grenades.
They've got a grenade with bat wings on it. Earlier they used it. They just threw it into a hallway full of people. We saw a man die. He got hit with a grenade, flew into a wall, presumably is dead.
Dead. If he's not dead, he's going to drown.
Or they're like, you three, carry this rather large man out of here. He was like an adult man. So yeah. like you got to carry him out while we're evacuating. So they throw in another grenade. It blows something, like just blows rescue ops up.
Some debris blocks, I guess, an escape hatch.
It like locks it in or something, like blocks it. So yeah. And then Chad runs over, hits a button, closes a second window. It's like a metal window.
Yeah, the little window has like a security shutter.
Yeah.
Which is cute.
It is, but like, you should have done that earlier. That would have been a good thing to do a couple of minutes ago. So we cut back to Carter in he is now in the Skull Cavern. He has demorphed. Why? So he can morph again in a couple minutes.
How can you breathe in a demon dimension?
They're just in a big cloud. There's plenty of air in a big cloud.
I mean, are they in the cloud or is the cloud a portal?
No one knows how the cloud works, Josh. You know that.
You're right. It's in the cloud. It's everybody's.
Could be anywhere. So Banshira, he sees some Sentai footage of baddies like rallying and Banshira giving a big speech about like, we're going to eat humans. We're going to bite their hands off and eat them and kill everybody. And we're going to run this
castle
town.
Can be on land again. And we can just kick back on our new beachfront home.
They have said that her palace is like under Mariner Bay, right? They're like, that's why they hate Mariner Bay specifically, is because like it's built over her demon palace. And they need to destroy it.
Yes.
So they can like raise it back up. So that means that the Skull Cavern is like a rental property.
Yeah.
It's just like they had like a summer home. They're like, oh, I guess we'll move everybody over there. It's going to suck, but oh well.
Three rooms and none of them have a roof or walls.
No, we cut to, and guys, I'm real sorry about this. We got to the bone room.
Yeah.
It's just a bone room.
It's just close up on a bone table. A table made of and holding bones.
There's just so many bones.
Every side of the table is skulls.
I was like, oh no, there's Ryan. And there's Ryan again. And there's Ryan again.
They killed so many Ryans.
They killed him so many times. It took all his faces.
And the rest of all of his bones.
There's just bones, just ribs and femurs and tibias. And
they've been back for 39 episodes, the demons have.
They've just been killing people, taking their bones.
They've just been killing people and decorating their summer home with bones.
Or are these old bones from before? From the ancient times? And they were just like killing people left and right because they demons.
Nobody knows how the bones work.
No, so they're in the bone room. And Carter comes into the bone room. Oh, Ryan is chained up. Don't worry. He's chained up in the bone room.
Just like way out in the open. It's not even against the wall. There's two pillars in the middle of the room.
He's just chained in the middle of it.
There's some baddies like,
I mean,
teasing him.
You don't need to hide it. You don't need to hide
him. He's supposed to be in high security. He can never be broken out or escape room.
Yeah, well, you know, it's wrong. Instead, they put him in the bone room. Well, I think they're going to sacrifice him. I think their plan was to sacrifice
him. That's what it seems like.
Which is weird because, like, I don't feel like Banshira has a higher power.
To what end? Yeah.
So, I don't know. But he's in there.
See, that's the problem with villains is they're so ceremonial.
Yeah.
Just kill your enemies.
Just do it.
And then they're gone.
Then they win.
Then they can't stop you because they're dead and part of your table.
There's bones for the bone room. So then Carter comes in. He shows up. He unties him. He's like, Ryan's shirt's like all ripped and stuff. So Carter like gets him out of these
right,
chains.
Right, they were giving him, they had to rip his shirt open, they can give him those nasty purple nurples.
Give him those purple nurples, give him pink bellies.
Oh.
Big pink belly. A little back chop. No one likes back chop.
No.
Back chop sucks. So they have to hurry because the eclipse is when she's going to summon all the demons back up from hell.
What? That's today.
It's like, I know, we need to go. And then they hear them walking and we get this, they like look around a pillar and we get this weird shot of, it starts on Jinxer and a bunch of baddies behind him. And he's like supplicating. He's like, oh, we're beautiful and powerful. Plan's working perfectly. All that crap. And then it like cuts back.
Eat Jinxer. Eat him. He's not doing anything anymore. He gave you the bat links. Well, he said, this is the only card I have left. It's been activated. Eat him.
He's going to do one more thing though in this episode.
Does he?
He does. He does one big thing towards the end in a minute. So then we get this like wider shot. Banshee is just floating 4 feet in the air.
She's just chilling up in the air.
Just like not moving. just like floating there.
Just like laughing a little bit at how, I guess, pretty she's making Jinxer tell her she is.
Yeah, I wasn't
listening. You know why she's floating in the air? Mama had her coffee.
And so then they run back into the bone room. Carter and Ryan go back into the bone room. They tie Ryan back up. Fake it. Fake, though.
They fake it.
It's fake, though. There is a sarcophagus in there with his eyes cut out so you can peek. Carter's in there.
He's peeking. It looks ridiculous.
Banshee comes in and she's like, I'm going to kill you, Ryan, and I'm going to sacrifice your bones to the bone room. And he's like, you'll never get away. And he's like struggling. Like, he's obviously faking it because like he was just out of there. Like,
right. Yeah.
And then Carter gets a text. He gets like a beep, beep, beep from some. We don't see what the other end is. Presumably it's a ranger.
Why
right?
did it beep?
The ranger's probably, Carter, are you out there? Carter, you need that word trapped. But instead it's just like, let everyone know Carter's there. She turns around. She's like, oh, I guess we have a visitor. And goes to open the sarcophagus. And she doesn't know that Ryan's been taken out of the chains. So she's walking up. Carter's like, come on, Ryan. Ryan breaks the chains because I guess they did put his hands back in them.
They latched it, but they didn't lock it.
Okay. So he breaks through there. He does a cool ass kick. He kicks off a pillar and like back kicks her. And then that like spins her back around to look at Ryan. Carter kicks the door open and grabs the top of the sarcophagus and swings out at like 100 miles an hour.
So fast.
He shoots himself like a bullet at Banshee. And then she's like, it's a million to one. What are you going to do? You're going to die here. And they're like, I like those odds. And that means there's 2 million baddies. There's two of them.
Yes.
So they morph.
Or there's 1,999,999 baddies. 98 baddies. Jinxer and Banshee.
So they morph. They do a fight. It's a fight. It's a big fight. A lot of baddies. Two rangers. It's good, but it's, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to describe it. It's a big Power Rangers
fight.
It's
not as good as the Aquabase fights.
No, that one was radical.
Those are going to be hard to top.
Yeah. So then we cut to the construction site, or I guess the deconstruction site, where they're like picking up the pieces of the Megazord, and there's just like some dudes, and Jinxer teleports in, kicks a man, and steals the Omega Megazord.
Right, that's right.
Yep.
I did forget he did that.
He just does that.
Use half of your 2 million baddies to pilot that Megazord. You don't need Jinxer.
No,
you should
Jinxer.
Just eat him with your weird gun face.
Unless.
That's where she ate Viper. Just took her right into the guts. You cut out the middleman, just go right into the tum-tum. Right.
Yeah. We're wasting so much time not having a stomach mouse. Humans are badly designed. Demons are a superior evolutionary creature.
Yep. Also, you heard it here first.
What if Jinxer controls the baddies, so she still needs him?
Oh, maybe. Like, if he dies, they all just shut down.
They all just, like, fly away and, like,
they turn
in
into
caves.
Bats.
Yeah.
And they just, like, live under the bridge on South Congress.
Yeah. They all come to Austin. Because there's 2 million bats. I don't know if you heard.
I have heard.
There's like 2 million of those bats, and you can kind of see them.
Yeah. You have to get down there like early in bat season.
Oh, but be careful, because if they poop in your face, you will get rabies.
And also, there's a church group that I guess invented the bats.
They think it's they
created
it sound,
the bats.
They try to make it sound like they shepherded all the bats here for us to see.
The bats are a great thing to see, and I do recommend going to see the bats. But just be ready for every single fucking person in Austin to want your money while you're there.
There, first of all, you walk down the bridge, and there's someone there who's trying to sell you a button.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to buy a button. That's fine. He's got bat wings on. I think he's calling himself the Batman, which is copyright infringement. Detective Comics. Comics might have something to say about that. Then you get down there and you're like, let's sit down. We brought a blankie. We're going to sit on the blankie. We're going to watch all the bats. Or you can stay up on the bridge and watch the bats, which we have not done. Might be a better time, but there's a lot of people there. You can't get too deep unless you're early.
If you go in the darker half, you definitely cannot see them over the water.
Yeah, but if you're on the ground, you can see them against the sky. A bunch of bats come out, right? But there's gonna be like 45 people who come up and try to like get you to give them money.
Yeah,
to like for the bats, but like the bats just came here.
Yeah,
you don't do anything to the bats. Do you like wash them? Do you bring them flies? No,
you don't wash the bats.
You just walk around trying to get money for the bats, dude. Get out of here.
I'm not going to spend $8 for your friggin' shrinky-dink bottle of water.
Yeah.
Please leave me alone. I'm trying to enjoy the bats. I'm
just trying to look at the bats if I can. So maybe that's what happens if Jinxer dies.
Maybe it's better on the ferry.
Maybe.
But then you have to pay to be on the ferry, so.
Well, at least then you're paying for something,
that's,
right?
That's true.
And you're not just paying. One time, we're so far off track. One time, we were there, and he's like, blah, 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 give me money for the bats. And we're like, we don't have any cash. We're millennials. We don't care. And then he said to us, maybe you can give her a dollar and she can give me the dollar. It's like, I don't think you understand.
That did happen.
Yeah. He tried to like get us to round robin a dollar to around. And we're like, none of us have money. We can't. And nor would I. Unless you get eaten by bats.
I would give the bats a dollar.
And I would give those bats some dollars.
To shit on you and give you rabies.
We gotta train the bats.
That's the only way.
That's the only way. So Jinxer's in the Zord. he's got a big... he just found a big old stone. Just like a huge five-story stone somewhere.
It is the size of a building because he slams it right down on top of one.
There's like a cross street and he just like... boom, puts it down in the middle, puts another one on a building, and he calls back. He's like, I'm setting up the stones, probably for the ceremony.
Yeah, because Banshira says, once the circle of stones is completed, the ceremony can begin? Or we did it.
I think the ceremony starts when you get all the stones in the circle, and then the eclipse starts. So like you got to have them ready for the eclipse.
That's the thing about magic, man. It's too many steps.
It's a lot of steps.
When you got Power Rangers trying to get in your way, oof, you're not going to be able to do your magic.
No, especially if you're a wizard. Then you got spell components. You need to be a sorcerer. You can just cast spells.
You need a circle of stones, but you also need some bad shit in your pocket.
Yeah, you got to have some bad guano and then like some wool and the hair of a moose or whatever. You know,
D&D is a lot of fun, but if you follow the rules, they're stupid.
It's bad. It's dumb and bad. And I get the flavor they're trying to go for, but like, it's for nerds.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is why I noticed that her boobs were eyes.
Yes.
Because it's the first time.
Because it like zooms in like to her stomach and then tilts up.
Yeah. I think it's like, did you notice?
I had not actually.
And I wish I didn't. Last episode, I was like, wow, those boobs are out of control, huh, for a kid's show. While we were watching the episode, not like on
air. Well, it turns out they're eyes.
Turns out they're her second pair of eyes. Boo.
Yikes.
Yikes. So then she throws Ryan and Carter out the window, which is stupid because she has them dead to rights. She has them, like, captured. And yeah, she's like, let me throw you out the window where you can regroup and come back and kill me later.
I'll just throw you home.
I guess. She throws them out the window like an idiot. And then we get some scenes of chaos in the streets, and then we cut back to the base where the rest of the Rangers and Captain Mustache and Dr. Fairweather are locked and trapped in the room. And there's water coming in now.
Yeah, before they pulled away, I think the last time we were in here, Joel was trying to clear the debris that fell.
Yeah.
From whatever it was blocking. And Dana noticed a crack starting to form in the window.
Yes.
Well, now the water's coming in.
Yep.
And I would be in a full-on panic at that point.
Oh, that's a scary place to live. Yeah. For sure. And that's where the episode ends.
Yeah. Just a weird shot of water dripping on the floor, and everyone is scared.
Yeah. As you should be.
Yep.
I don't know if... I mean, I'm sure they can morph, but like...
Yeah, but I mean, Captain Mustache and Dr. Fairweather can't.
I feel like they could probably hold their breath long enough to get up, right? To get up to the surface.
With a Power Ranger helping you? Yeah, I'm sure.
Because it seems like Dana swam down here regular style before in that episode with Earl.
And Chad is always out in the water.
And Chad loves being in the water. He just calls his girlfriend, have some mermaids come and swim him up.
Kind of waiting for her to show up. I thought the window was going to break and she was going to swim in through it.
That would be so radical.
And then she's going to mermaid kiss everybody to the surface like in Hook.
Yep. We'll see.
Yep.
Because that's the end of the episode. Josh, I started. What's the best?
I think the aqua base morph scenes during the fight, I think that was my favorite part.
I think I'm going to agree. I liked a lot of this episode.
This episode was very good.
This episode was real good. I think if it's not that for me, it's Dr. Fairweather just taking charge when Captain Mustache goes catatonic.
That was also very good because she did not even blink.
There, she was like, Captain, he's gone. We're going to evacuate. Like, she was like, we'll figure this out later.
Like, 1 second, some of the, like, other military personnel here are like, what, evacuate? I think Joel is even like, evacuate?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, we're getting out.
Get him out.
And then they all get out.
So I think that's going to be my best, is Dr. Farrow just like, no hesitation taking charge. What is the worst?
See, it's not a bad episode.
No.
And so I think my worst is the Carter-Dana exchange. Not because it is, like, very bad, but just because it's a little bit like, it could have been a better scene.
If it would have had two more lines of dialogue between the two of them, because I don't think Carter even answers her.
He does not even acknowledge that she said she would go.
Yeah. Because when he says, like, well, he responds and he's like, I'll take the thing and they'll never see it coming. And then Chad immediately jumps in with like, yeah, no, they won't because it's crazy. And like, it just gets brushed under the rug.
Yeah.
That, like, she said, I will go save my brother. But I also think that's probably the worst.
I don't think there's anything else in this episode that is bad.
No.
I don't even know if that's necessarily bad, but it's not great.
It's just the worst part of the episode. It's got to be something. And the MVP?
I don't know. Dr. Fairweather for stepping up and taking charge.
I think, yeah.
I mean, I could give it to Carter, but I don't think
Carter did it as much.
I don't think getting Red Ranger privilege qualifies him as an MVP for this time.
Yeah. I mean, like, and he did good stuff, but and that little man when he kicked out of that sarcophagus,
that was pretty
sweet. So good. But yeah, I think also Dr. Fairweather, because like she took over. Also, when she was confronted with 1,000 baddies, she just like closed the door and left.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna go get the people that can deal with this.
And then she did like a little panicking and ran, but she didn't like panic in a way that like was detrimental.
She didn't panic and run into the room full of baddies.
Yeah. And we don't need to rank this one because it's a two-parter. So we will rank that at the end. I feel like my shoulder's cracked like 12 times.
I know there's an audible thumb pop in there because it was like while you were talking. So, sorry about that.
So that's it. Next episode, Fate of Lightspeed. The Fate of Lightspeed, part two. And that will be on Friday. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Had him for like 4.5 years. I never knew.